Markeith Lloyd was a wanted man. His pregnant ex-girlfriend, 24-year-old Sade Dixon, had been shot and killed, her unborn baby unable to be saved. Markeith was the number one suspect. In fact, police had eyewitnesses who saw him do it, including Sade's brother, who was also shot.
I saw him take out the gun from his red hoodie pocket, front pocket. He did his motion to, put the bullet in a chamber and held it up. And next thing I know, I didn't have control over my body. And it felt like someone kicked me really, really, really hard in my stomach.
So could you tell what Sade was doing?
I remember when I felt her over my body, like she was patting my shoulder.
Okay. You know what the defendant was doing?
He was shooting.
But it was now a month later, and so far, Markeith had evaded capture. As the sun was coming up on January 9th, 2017, however, a shopper recognized him inside an Orlando Walmart and tipped off a uniformed police officer, Lieutenant Deborah Clayton, who also happened to be shopping that morning. Lieutenant Clayton tried to chase him and arrest him outside the store. A gun battle broke out in the parking lot.
Ms. Bryant will go on to tell you that a minute or so later, she hears gunshots. She quickly ducks down. The next time she's able to get up when the shots have ceased, she sees the man she identified as Markeith Lloyd walking away, getting or jogging back to his vehicle before driving away.
The gunfire lasted just seconds. When it was over, Lieutenant Clayton was dying from a bullet fired through her neck. Markeith carjacked a vehicle and escaped. He shot at another police car as he drove off. A massive manhunt was underway, again, and schools in the area went on lockdown. Traffic slowed to a crawl. Hundreds of law enforcement officials hunted for Markeith Lloyd, now suspected of killing his ex-girlfriend, her unborn child, and an officer. To make matters worse, one of the responding officers to the manhunt, a 35-year-old Orange County Sheriff's deputy, ended up being killed in a motorcycle crash less than 3 hours after Lieutenant Clayton's death. It was another painful blow to the community. Just before his ex-girlfriend's shooting, Markeith had written on Facebook, "Goals, to be on America's Most Wanted." His words took on a dark prediction after he appeared on the U.S. Marshals Service's Top 15 Most Wanted Fugitives list. A $125,000 reward was offered, and tips began to pour in. This is Jillian, and in partnership with Law and Crime, you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 194. Summer is finally coming. What sounds better than a backyard barbecue right about now? Article has launched their new line of outdoor products for summer 22. Think oversized statement loungers, streamlined dining pieces, and easy-to-style sofas. They have 42 new pieces, plus a selection of bestsellers from the past. They have everything you need to outfit the deck of your dreams this summer. If you've never heard of Article, they combine the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Their designers focus on beautifully crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. And their pricing is fair. You save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. Article is able to keep their pricing low by cutting out the middlemen and selling directly to you, so there's no markups. I initially ordered a new bench for our dining room, and then I ended up ordering an outside dining table and a new bed too. Ordering these things was super easy. What I love is that they have this gallery of photos that showcase how the item you're looking at actually looks in people's homes, which is why I ended up buying more than I thought I would. The bench looks amazing. The bed is probably the nicest bed we have ever owned, and I am so pumped to use the outside dining table. Article is offering our listeners $50 off their first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/court and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/court to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Keeping things fresh and fun is a great way to stay motivated. No one wants to get burnt out by doing the same things over and over again. Exercise is that way for me, and Peloton is the best way for me to stay motivated. So what's new and fresh at Peloton, you ask? Well, they have an even bigger variety of daily workouts to choose from. So you can do 30 minutes of strength one day, 20 minutes of cardio another, or even a 15-minute total body workout another day. They also have fun classes like boxing, and no gloves are needed. These classes will have you working up a sweat while working on the fundamentals of form, footwork, and fun combos that will keep you on your toes. Peloton also has their new artist series music selections, meaning you can choose a single artist for an entire class. You can make your workout into a concert. Peloton has a workout for every goal, day, and mood, whether it's bike workouts, yoga, meditation, dance cardio, and more, whether it's working out on the bike or on the go from your phone. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. That's onepeloton.com. While law enforcement continued searching for Marquis Floyd, the families of Sade Dixon and Lieutenant Deborah Clayton were in mourning. Reports came out that Sade and Marquis had only been dating for 3 months. She was 2 months pregnant with his child. In the days before her death, Sade had reportedly moved back in with her parents, telling them that she and Marquis had gotten into a physical altercation. Then, on December 13, 2016, Marquis came over, and the two of them started arguing outside. At one point, Sade came back inside, went upstairs, and retrieved a gun she had been given as a gift. She took the gun back outside with her. A little later, Sade's brother, Ronald Stewart, heard a bang outside. When he looked out, he saw Sade and Marquis arguing.
I saw Marquis on one side of the car and Sade on the other side of the car.
What was Sade's appearance to you at that point?
I was looking at her and seemed like she was really afraid. She was ducking her head down and trying to avoid him.
Ronald went outside and told them they needed to separate and pick it up another day. After a bit of a back and forth, Ronald and Sade attempted to go back inside, but the door was locked. According to Ronald, Marquis took a gun he had brought with him out of his sweatshirt and started firing. He shot both Sade and Ronald. Sade and her unborn baby died minutes later. Ronald was expected to recover. According to the autopsy report, Sade had been shot 8 times. The funeral for Lieutenant Deborah Clayton was held on January 14, 2017. John Mina, who was the Orlando police chief at the time, spoke.
And this week, I've heard from thousands of people across the nation and the world who feel a tremendous loss. Today we are mourning, but we're also here to honor the beautiful life of an extraordinary person, a wife, mother, daughter, sister, police officer, leader.
Lieutenant Clayton had grown up in Orlando. She went to high school there and went to the local university, where she got her bachelor's degree and master's degree. She soon set her sights on a law enforcement career. She applied to the Orlando Police Department.
It was emotional, but extremely inspiring as I read through her personnel file over these past few days. In her application to the Orlando Police Department in 1998, Deborah wrote, "I would like to use my education and experience in a responsible position, offering career opportunities and an immediate challenge. I consider myself a strong-minded, single parent who has faced a lot of obstacles. I would like to join the Orlando Police Department because I feel as though my background would better our community." She ended with this, "I would be very proud to work for the Orlando Police Department."
Lieutenant Clayton had been on the Orlando Police Force for 17 years when she died. She was one of the first officers who responded to Orlando's Pulse nightclub massacre in 2016. She was a community activist. Lieutenant Clayton, who is Black, wrote a book about how law enforcement could bridge the gap to work with the community and to police without bias. It had taken 2 years to write. Making a difference in the community was important to her. When parents reported problems with gangs at an apartment complex, her idea was to go out and teach classes on drugs and gangs there.
My name is Tammy D. Hughes, Far March for the City of Orlando, and I am just one of the friends, many friends who love Deborah. She never lost sight of her goal to bridge the gap between the community and law enforcement. And she believed, as well as I did, in her capabilities of making a difference by giving freely and unselfishly her time, money, and talents to ensure fair and equal treatment of those who came in contact with her. Just like so many of you in the audience today, she was courageous. She gave her life for a good cause, trying to protect the very community that she grew up in and she loved so much.
Deborah Clayton had actually been a sergeant when she died. The Orlando Police Department promoted her posthumously to be a lieutenant to honor her for her service to the community. Three days after Lieutenant Clayton's funeral, Markeith Lloyd was finally caught and arrested, ending his 9 days on the run. A helicopter overhead filmed his capture on night vision video, as Orlando police used Lieutenant Clayton's own handcuffs in a symbolic gesture to detain him. But Markeith's arrest would later be scrutinized over.
Most wanted man in Florida is waking up in a hospital this morning. Police captured Markeith Lloyd Tuesday night in Orlando. The chief says he resisted arrest and he's now being treated for minor injuries before they haul him off to jail.
In the video, Markeith could be seen crawling out of the front door of an abandoned house he had been hiding in. Wearing a bulletproof vest and armed, he crawled on his belly and headed to the street. He tossed two guns into the grass. According to police, one of those guns had 100-round capacity. Law enforcement officers spotted him right away, according to radio traffic, but allowed him to crawl across the lawn before confronting him. The Orlando Sentinel reported in one story. After Markeith made it over the curb, officers could be seen surrounding him, and two officers are seen kicking him. The camera quickly pans away and zooms out. After a few moments, it returns to the officers, where they are seen taking Markeith towards a nearby police vehicle. The media reported that four Orlando police officers had punched, kicked, and hit Markeith with their rifle muzzles. Again, from the Orlando Sentinel. FDLE Special Agent Jeffrey Duncan said officers dogpiled Lloyd after he crawled to the street, and his head got stomped. Orange County Sheriff Sergeant Bruce Vail described officers screaming and yelling at Markeith and taking out their frustration in a bit of a mob scene. Their blows broke a bone in Markeith's eye socket, the injury severe enough that he lost his left eye. Then Orlando Police Chief John Mina told the media that Markeith had resisted arrest by not putting his hands behind his back. He said his officers would be investigated internally, however, for their use of force. Those officers were eventually cleared of any wrongdoing. An internal investigation ruled Orlando Police's use of force was justified during Markeith's arrest. The report's findings pointed out the conditions were dark and brought up Markeith's violent history, since he did whatever was necessary to avoid capture. According to the Orlando Sentinel, the investigation relied on interviews with the officers and guidance from the Brevard Seminole State Attorney's Office to help reach its conclusions. Markeith's attorney said he was disappointed, but not surprised by the internal investigation's outcome. Terrence Lenneman told the Sentinel, "There's no surprise they're going to cover up this horrendous act and hope the public will ignore it, because Mr. Lloyd is an accused cop killer." A heavily bandaged and swollen Markeith appeared in court. They beat me up. They beat me up, he exclaimed to the cameras. After the judge read his charges and made sure he knew what he was up against, Markeith started talking.
I'm sorry, sir, what did you say?
Nothing.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to go ahead and do.
Well, first of all, I got questions to ask.
You're here for first appearances on a warrant, sir.
Y'all making up shit like I just went on there and shot this girl, endangering my family.
Okay, a judge is
What if other people want to do something back? Y'all portray this shit to the news people. Like I just went there and shot this girl when there was other guns found on the scene, and all kinds of guns were pulled on me first. But y'all acting like I just went there and shot her. Her little brother got dropped off while me and her was standing there talking. So there's all kind of other shit that happened before. But y'all just put on news. Oh, I just went there and shot this girl. Got my family at danger. So no, I wasn't coming in right now.
He's requesting Mr. Lloyd be placed under oath before any further proceedings.
He's already been placed under oath. Everything you say is being recorded, sir. So
yeah, she should know that. She's a lawyer. What's she talking for?
So here's what I'm going to go ahead and do. I'm going to go ahead.
I'm not finished talking because y'all been making up shit the whole time.
He continued while the judge tried interrupting.
So we're only addressing the one case, and I told you what you're here for.
Y'all know about all y'all lies y'all doing. I don't care.
I'm going to set on counts 1, 2, and 3, bond is going to be set at no bond. Additionally, on counts 4 and 5, I'll set bond at $1,500 apiece, totaling no bond plus $3,000. Additionally, I'm ordering some special conditions.
She told him he wasn't allowed to contact the victims or family members in the case, namely Sade's brother, Ronald. Markeith then interrupted again, addressing what the officers did to him.
I'm going to go ahead and we'll give you a court date sometime out. It'll be on the paperwork for determination of counsel.
And then when they had me in the hospital, Channel 9 News sent out that way for me to come out to see what they did for me. Or they done took my eye. They done broke my nose, broke my jaw. They did all this shit till I resisted, but I crawled out to the motherfucking road. So how did I resist? I ain't resist shit. They just did that shit. They tried to hide it from the news people, but I'm here right now.
Corrections. I think we've established everything we need to do in a first appearance hearing. He can be taken after he signs.
Later, fuck you.
Have him sign the no contact.
Fuck you.
Did you know that Court Junkie has an official family dog? His name is Porky, and he's a Maltese mix who's a little over 12 years now. But even though he's 12, he still acts like a puppy and barks like one, too. I ended up ordering Porky a tracking device from Tractive. As soon as I heard that these things exist, I knew I had to get him one. Tractive gives you the ability to follow your dog's every step in real time on your phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can see where your dog has been and what they've been up to, even when you're not there. Porky's a little older, so it's great to be able to monitor his active time, his rest, and calories burned. I'm also excited about their virtual fence feature, where you can mark safe spaces and then know the minute your dog leaves it and when he comes back safely. Tractive is small, lightweight, and 100% waterproof, so no matter what he's doing, it will stay on. Just like your cell phone, Tractive connects to all major cellular networks like AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile to provide maximum coverage throughout the U.S. and Canada. A subscription plan is required, and those start at just $5 a month. Tractive is the most trusted pet GPS tracker and has been such a game changer for me and Porky. With live location tracking, I now have more peace of mind that if Porky ever got lost, I'd be able to find him right away. Right now, you can save 20% off any device by visiting tractive.com and using the code COURT at checkout. That's 20% off any device by using the code COURT. Join pet parents around the world that trust Tractive to keep their pets safe by visiting tractive.com to learn more about the GPS device and subscription plans. View your pet's exact location from anywhere, anytime. Head on over to tractive.com to get peace of mind today. Court Junkie is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you can save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2020 and May 2021. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Markeith Lloyd went on trial for the murder of Sade Dixon and her unborn baby in October 2019. He was convicted and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. 2 years later, in October 2021, he would go on trial again for the murder of Lieutenant Deborah Clayton, this time facing the maximum punishment of the death penalty. For this trial, a judge ruled that the jury could not hear details about Sade's death, nor the reason why Lieutenant Clayton wanted to arrest Markeith in the first place. The state may introduce evidence there was a warrant for Mr. Lloyd's arrest. They may not introduce evidence of what it was for, the judge wrote in her order. Deputy Norm Lewis, the officer killed in the motorcycle crash as he joined the search for Markeith, was also not allowed to be mentioned. Markeith's second trial got intense media coverage because of the raw facts. An officer shot and killed, another killed indirectly while searching for him. But Markeith drew additional headlines for his courtroom antics. He had several emotional outbursts. At one point, he tried to fire his public defender and said he wanted to represent himself, although ultimately he was represented by an attorney. In the state's opening statements, prosecutor Ryan Williams described the last moments of Lieutenant Clayton's life.
On a crisp January morning, nearly 5 years ago, Orlando Police Lieutenant Deborah Clayton lay on the asphalt, the cold asphalt, of a Walmart parking lot mere miles from here. Her hip had been shattered by a .40 caliber bullet that was fired and entered the rear of her body, going through her bowel and her pelvis as she was struck by a shot from behind from her attacker that was chasing her. This first shot sent her to the ground, unable to run any further. Lieutenant Clayton was still armed. She had her gun, but she was wounded and little match for her still mobile assailant, who ran up to her, firing down at her as she looked up. The evidence in this case will show, ladies and gentlemen, that those were the last moments of Lieutenant Clayton's life before a second, and in fact, what was the fourth .40 caliber bullet was fired into her neck and severed her carotid artery.
Williams explained the evidence the jury would hear. They were going to watch surveillance video of the Walmart that morning that showed Markeith standing over Lieutenant Clayton and firing that fatal shot into her neck. They were also going to hear from multiple witnesses, including the woman who recognized Markeith in Walmart and alerted Lieutenant Clayton. Other officials would also be taking the stand.
One of those witnesses will be Dr. Joshua Stephanie, the chief medical examiner for the Office of the Ninth Circuit. Dr. Stephanie performed the autopsy on Lieutenant Clayton, and he will describe Lieutenant Clayton suffering from 4 gunshots. The first gunshot wound went into her right leg and exited from the same leg in the front of her thigh. A second, somewhat more superficial gunshot wound was in her stomach area. Then you had the gunshot wound from behind, just above her right buttocks, that fractures her pelvis and gets lodged near her stomach. And finally, the fatal gunshot wound to the right part of her neck that ends up killing her that day.
According to Williams, there was no shortage of physical evidence tying Markeith to the scene of the crime.
CSI Vandenberg will also describe locating two firearms outside the residence where Mr. Lloyd was found. One of those firearms was a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson SVE semi-automatic firearm. The other was a 9mm Glock Model 17 firearm. Eventually, near the end of the trial, you'll hear testimony from then Florida Department of Law Enforcement firearms analyst Richard Ruth. Mr. Ruth will tell you that he compared that .40 caliber firearm to three things. First, to a projectile that was recovered from the body of Shade Dixon. Second, to the eight .40 caliber shell casings that were found in the parking lot of the Walmart at 3101 West Princeton. And thirdly, to the projectiles that were recovered from the body of Lieutenant Deborah Clayton. And it will be his conclusion, based upon his expertise and experience, that the .40 caliber firearm found when Mr. Lloyd was apprehended fired those projectiles, those bullets, and those shell casings.
Williams told the jury that the defense would likely argue that Markeith shot Lieutenant Clayton in self-defense, and that he was insane at the time.
I will be candid with you that there is not proof beyond a reasonable doubt as to who fired first, whether it was Lieutenant Clayton or whether it was the defendant Markeith Lloyd. We just don't know that.
When it was the defense's turn, attorney Terrence Lunneman argued that Markeith was in fact legally insane. He just didn't know it. He said Markeith, who was black, believed the police were out to kill him, not capture him. He told the jury that Markeith had written about his hatred for law enforcement and frustrations with racism in more than 30,000 Facebook posts.
You're going to get to see some of that during this trial. And it will be clear to you that he's vocal about feeling that he's enslaved by the white man, that he's not a Martin Luther King, that he will fight violence with violence, and that he believes and follows accurately to the detail, and Dr. Toomer will tell you this, every one of the black males, black boy, women who have been killed by police officers.
He said at one point, Markeith had asked his sister to take out an insurance policy on him, because he was convinced that the police were going to kill him.
So what are we dealing with here with Markeith Lloyd? He doesn't think he's ill. He doesn't think he's mentally ill. That's called anosognosia. It's when a mentally ill person doesn't realize they're mentally ill. But he is. And actually, about 30% of people who are mentally ill suffer from this issue. And you will hear from Dr. Toomer about that.
The defense also told the jury that Lieutenant Clayton fired first, so Markeith had no choice but to pull out his gun and shoot back. Takesha Bryant was a second grade teacher whose cousin had been previously married to Markeith Lloyd. She remembered what Markeith looked like from her cousin's wedding photos. He was instantly recognizable because of the scar on his lip. But there was another reason why she knew Markeith's face. His picture was all over the news as a wanted man. On one of those rare chilly days in Florida, Takesha couldn't find her daughter's coat. That's why, at around 7 a.m. on January 9th, she went to Walmart to buy something last minute for her to wear to school. She quickly found a jacket, and as she was paying for it, she recognized a man in line, Markeith. Takesha played it cool. She walked out the door so he wouldn't know that she had recognized him. Then she ran to the police officer outside.
When you realized it was Mr. Lloyd, what thought went through your mind?
I needed to get to the police officer I had just saw.
Okay. So before that, you had seen a police officer in the Walmart. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Where did you see the police officer?
While I was at customer service, she was leaving out of the store.
All right. You said she. It was a female?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Was the officer black, white, or Hispanic?
Black.
How did you know that this black female was a police officer?
Because she was in police uniform.
You told her Markeith Lloyd was in the store. Did you give her any additional information?
Yes, sir.
What did you tell her?
That he was wanted for murdering his pregnant girlfriend.
Did you see or hear Lieutenant Clayton react in any way to that
information? Yes, sir.
What did she do?
She called in on her radio.
For help? Or could you hear what she... Let me ask a better question. Could you hear what she was saying?
Yes. I can't tell you word for word, but she was calling in, and I did hear her.
Overruled.
Go ahead.
She was calling in to find out, you know, if the information that I was telling her was true, if it makes sense.
Takesha relayed what clothes Markeith was wearing, a black shirt that said security on it and a skull cap. She headed back to her car, but her attention was focused on the store. She heard Lieutenant Clayton say, "Get on the ground."
So as I'm going back to the car, I heard her say, "Get on the ground." And then Mr. Lloyd ran behind, pushed his basket and ran behind a pillar.
Now, you saw all of this.
Yes, sir.
Where were you in relation to your vehicle at the time?
By then, I was close to my vehicle, but I wasn't at my vehicle at that time.
So you said you saw him push his basket to the cart?
Yes, sir.
Right, and did you see which direction he ran?
To the left.
Which would have been away from you?
Yes.
All right. And do you know if Lieutenant Clayton had her gun out at that point?
No, sir.
You don't know?
No, sir.
All right. At that point, did you see anything in Mr. Lloyd's hands?
Not when he ran behind the pillar.
All right. What happened or what did you observe after he ran behind the pillar?
When he came back from behind the pillars, when I saw a gun in his hand.
Did you see a gun in Lieutenant Clayton's hand at that point?
No, sir.
All right. You don't know that she didn't have one, you just didn't see it?
I just didn't see.
Okay. Were you able to see anything that indicated whether Mr. Lloyd was firing his weapon?
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw the gun in his hand.
Okay.
I heard the shot.
She heard gunshots, so she dropped to the ground. She testified about an unforgettable image she saw. Markeith standing over the officer and then firing one final shot.
At some point, did the shots stop?
Yes, sir.
What did you do when the shots stopped?
I got up.
And when you got up, what could you see?
Miss Markeith Lloyd.
Where was he?
Standing over her.
And then what did you see next happen?
One more shot.
Monica Pridgen had just finished her overnight shift stocking shelves at Walmart. As she sat in her car waiting for it to warm up, she noticed Lieutenant Clayton, a regular customer who usually shopped at the Walmart once a week. Monica was eavesdropping. Her window was rolled down, even in the cold. She could hear a woman, court testimony indicated it was Takesha, get Lieutenant Clayton's attention. She saw Lieutenant Clayton then get on her radio and start walking back to the entrance.
And when she got near the grocery entrance, did you hear anything said in a loud enough voice that you could have heard it from your car?
She said, "Hey, you," to him. She said something to him towards the door. And then when the door is open, it's like everything just went left.
Okay. Were you able to hear Lieutenant Clayton say, "Hey, you," from inside of your car?
She said, to be honest, she said something. I was tired that morning, and I know she was saying something when the door opened, and I was just sitting there looking in the car, not trying to be nosy, but something said.
Okay.
I believe it was, "Hey, you."
Some kind of command, you don't know specifically.
Right. What. She said something to him.
She said Markeith was pushing a cart at the time.
Once you heard Lieutenant Clayton say whatever it is she said to him, mm-hmm. What did you see the defendant do?
There was a scuffle between the cart and the pillar. The pillar blocked me, so I couldn't see everything.
Okay.
When they first interacted with each other.
Well, let me ask you a a more direct question. When, after Lieutenant Clayton said whatever it was she said, did the defendant remain with the cart or did he separate from the cart?
He was still with the cart.
Okay. At some point, did he separate from the cart?
Yes.
After he separated from the cart, what direction did you see him go?
Run around the pillar.
She saw Lieutenant Clayton try to take cover. She ended up in the middle of the road.
When Lieutenant Clayton first said something to the defendant, do you know if she had her gun out at all?
She had her hand on her gun.
Okay. Still holstered?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
That's okay. When, after the defendant bolted to the left around the pillar, did you see whether the defendant had any gun in his hand?
Yes.
At what point did you see the gun in his hand? Where was he?
Standing on the opposite side of the pillar, okay, where I can see him.
At that time, did Lieutenant Clayton have her gun out yet?
Yes.
How was it positioned when it was out, or Lieutenant Clayton's gun? Was it up in the air? Was it pointed down?
In the air.
At some point, did you hear a gunshot?
Yes.
Based on your vantage point, do you know who fired the first shot?
Yes.
Who?
Marquis Floyd.
Okay, and how do you know that?
I was standing there watching.
Okay. Where was he when he fired that shot?
Right by the pillar.
And how was Lieutenant Clayton positioned when he fired that shot?
She was in the middle of the road shooting.
Returning fire?
Yes, sir.
Objection leading.
Sustained.
Who to strike?
Denied. Go ahead.
She said after Marquis fired the first shot, Lieutenant Clayton then fired. She estimated about 5 to 8 rounds. She described seeing the officer fall to the ground.
Did you see the defendant near Lieutenant Clayton when Lieutenant Clayton was on the ground?
Yes.
Describe what you saw.
When he was shooting, he was just shooting and walking, and he just kept shooting her, and she was on the ground. He just, like, the way he looked at her, and he just kept walking and went on to the car. Just
go ahead and try to answer the questions I'm asking you.
Right. Ma'am, don't interject your opinion. Just state facts, all right? Thank you.
All right. Sorry.
So, she was on the ground, and he was standing, and he shot her.
Right.
After that, is that when he went to his car?
Yes, sir.
She said as Markeith ran to his car, she ran across the parking lot to get to Lieutenant Clayton.
When you got to Lieutenant Clayton's side, what was she doing?
Objection.
Overruled.
Looking at me and trying to get to her walkie-talkie.
And where was her walkie-talkie?
Up on her shoulder.
Was she talking or saying anything or trying to talk to you?
Trying.
Did you see any injuries to her?
Yes.
What'd you see?
A hole in her neck.
In a tense cross-examination, Monica admitted that some of those memories re-emerged long after she spoke with police the first time. Other witnesses gave contradictory testimony when they described who shot first, Markeith or Lieutenant Clayton. It wasn't made clear in court who fired that first shot. Also taking the stand was Orlando Police Detective Pete Cadiz, who interviewed Markeith after he had been arrested. Video from that interview showed Markeith requesting medical treatment for his eye, while Detective Cadiz called him names, such as Little Goddamn Pussy and A Rabid Dog. Detective Cadiz told the court that he had been unprofessional when he interviewed Markeith after losing his friend, Deborah. But that rage didn't affect his investigation, he said. I've beat myself up for why I allowed that to come out. I just kept seeing a friend of mine for 20 years gunned down on her back, and it triggered something in me I've never felt before, he said. Markeith Lloyd's defense team brought up his trauma-filled childhood. and said that since he was a child, he was subjected to fear and racism. Then, over the years as he grew, Markeith thought police were targeting him. He crept into delusional thinking, which the defense argued showed he was insane. Here's what Markeith's attorney said at the start of the trial.
He started selling drugs. His family didn't have much money, and he became the caretaker of his family. He would steal food, and obviously get into conflict with the police. And the more the conflict grew with consistency, the more that he believed he was being targeted because of the color of his skin.
Markeith, now 46, took the stand to testify in his defense. He wore a plaid collared shirt and pants. His feet were shackled and hidden under the table from the jurors' eyes. However, the jurors could see his missing left eye, since Markeith wasn't wearing an eye patch. Before he was sworn in under oath, the judge reminded him not to stand up or make any sudden movements. A deputy stood behind him. Markeith testified about living in extreme poverty and turning to petty crime to care for his siblings. He said he was raised by a single mom. His dad died when he was young. He told the court he grew up in a bad part of Orlando, where you could either become one of two things, a drug dealer or a robber.
Now, did there come a time in your teenage years that you began selling drugs? I know you mentioned it earlier.
Yes, I started selling drugs when I was 16.
And why did you start selling drugs?
We already didn't have, and I'm out of school, so I'm on the streets. I'm watching the drug dealers making all this money. So I'm watching them. I'm coming to the streets. I'm seeing them watching. So I'm not selling at the time, just watching. And Christmas came around. I was 16. And my mom, she raised us up on these holidays. So when Christmas come around, she don't get me nothing for Christmas.
Action narrative. Sustained.
And so she didn't get you anything for Christmas. And what did you do?
So my grandmother sent me $100 for Christmas. I went and spent 80 of it on my girlfriend.
Action narrative. Sustained.
And what did you do with that money?
I went and bought drugs for the $20 and I started selling drugs.
Okay. And from that point on, you were selling drugs?
Yes.
The jury heard testimony that Markeith's family had been the only black people on their block and that they had to go inside when it got dark because Ku Klux Klan members walked the streets. Markeith testified that growing up, his mom couldn't afford to feed the family, so he stole to feed his siblings and make sure they had clothes to wear.
Did there come a time when you were taken to a mental health facility / drug facility by your mother?
Yes.
Okay. How old were you then?
I was 16.
Okay. And how did you end up getting there?
They was taking my cousin to get evaluated for whatever reason. So my mom, she wanted me to get evaluated too. So I'm on the corner. She came up. She pulled up. She was like, "Keith, come with me. We're taking West to get evaluated. I want them to evaluate you too." So I'm like, all right. So I came with him. So we came, we went to the Laurel, it was called Laurel Oaks Hospital, mental hospital. So we went there, they evaluated me and my cousin. So they told my mom, they was like, right now, we don't see anything wrong with him.
Hearsay.
Sustained.
And so were you placed in that hospital?
Yes. So they said that.
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
How long were you placed in that hospital?
For 2 weeks, because I had to admit myself. And if I didn't, and if I admit myself, the only way I can get out is my mom would have to sign me out. So she wanted me to stay. So I stayed, but she promised me that she would come get me when I'm ready to leave.
Okay. And during that period of time,
after 2 weeks, did your mom agree to the
Yes, because they tried to keep me long term. They wanted to keep me for 3 years because they told my mom that I was crazy. So and I ended up snapping. I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. Y'all gonna make me crazy trying to keep me in here. So, but she wouldn't sign me out. So I told them, never speak to me again. You're not my mom because you lied to me. You lied to me because you raised us up. Don't lie. And you lied to me. You promised me you go come get me when I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So the next day she came and got me.
Now, Mr. Lloyd, do you believe you're crazy?
No.
Do you believe you're mentally ill?
No.
Markeith's attorney skipped around his later years during questioning. What was clear was that at some point he went to federal prison on drug charges. When he got out, he eventually juggled multiple jobs, sometimes working 7 days a week. He was a driver for a chicken restaurant, but Markeith said he got robbed, so he started carrying a firearm with him as protection. Markeith also testified about his fear and hatred for the police that he felt for most of his life. He admitted that he was addicted to Facebook, where he wrote post after post about his animosity for police officers and their treatment of African Americans. Markeith read some of his posts on the stand.
Can you read that?
Yes. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I said, you can't snitch on the police. The police go lock you up and tell on you every time. You don't owe them nothing. So don't think that you do. They're not your friends. They're not your brothers. You owe them shit. The Mexicans got this thing that telling on blacks is not telling. As long as they don't tell on their people, they excuse. Listen to this sound logic. What do you owe your enemy? You don't owe your enemy love, respect, and loyalty. So they kill by all means, even snitching on you. These people owe you shit, and you don't owe them.
Was this a way to verbally communicate how intense you felt about these issues?
Yes, I was speaking out in anger. I was angry. Of course I was angry.
Were you ever directing anybody to kill police officers?
No.
Why would you say things like that? What do you owe them? Death, if anything, crackers.
Why would I say things like that?
Yeah, why would you say that? Why would you write that?
Because what do you owe them when they're killing you and your people for nothing just because you're black? So what do I owe you when you would kill me for nothing? If anything, I owe you to defend myself and give you the same back. That's what I meant by that.
Markeith testified about what his life was like as he hid from the police after shooting his ex-girlfriend. He said the media hadn't accurately portrayed what had happened, that in actuality, he had been attacked that night by his ex's family member. Markeith said he refused to run. He didn't think he was guilty, so he hid out in a trap house or in abandoned houses, staying up all night on high alert.
How much sleep were you getting during that period of time?
Close to none. Hour, two.
Why was that?
Because I had to stay on alert. I had to try to be up. I had to be on alert.
And did you, were you able to eat?
No, I lost 40 pounds.
And why is that? Why weren't you able to eat?
Because I couldn't just go to any store like that, and then I didn't have no one helping me, as they say. So that's something help supposed to do, but I didn't have any help. No one doing anything for me.
Markeith took the jury step by step through what happened the day of Lieutenant Clayton's death. He said he was tired of going to the bathroom in the woods, and he was hungry for something to eat. So he decided to go to the Walmart in Orlando. He said he first went to the bathroom and then grabbed some items. Lieutenant Clayton, in full uniform, was ahead of him in line for the register. Markeith pulled back, trying to avoid her, and got into a different line. He checked out. He said he kept his head low, his beanie almost covering his eyes, so no one would recognize him. He left the store, and when he looked up, he said, "I saw a gun in my face." Sensing the gun belonged to a police officer, Markeith said he tried to veer away. He wanted to escape to the woods, and he started running. When he heard gunshots, he said he returned fire. He insisted he was defending himself against Lieutenant Clayton, who he said tried to shoot him in the back.
What are you thinking when you run in the, when you come here, you see her, or you see a police officer, a possible police officer, and you change directions? Where are you going?
Just trying to avoid him. I'm thinking I'm going to be killed.
Okay. And so you're running away from her?
I'm running away. I'm trying to avoid her.
Okay. Does there come a time when that changes?
Yes. When I hear the shot, I pull my gun and I turn around and return fire.
Okay. So the first time you pull your gun out is when you hear a shot?
Yes.
Okay. And where was your gun?
On my waist.
Okay. Did you only have one gun?
Yes, I had two, but the other one was in the car.
Okay. And why were you turning around with your gun out?
Because I heard a shot and I'm defending myself.
He said they fired at each other. She fell, but she was still firing. And he said so was he. When she stopped shooting, so did he.
Okay. When you went towards her, what was your intent?
To try to shoot the vest.
Okay. But when you went towards her initially, what was the purpose you were going after her?
Because I feel like she just tried to kill me. Okay. She just tried to shoot me in my back.
He said he thinks it all happened quickly. The shootout lasted no more than 13 seconds.
Now, at some point, as she's running away, she falls down.
Yes.
What happens? Describe what you remember seeing.
So when she falls down, I don't know if my momentum was taking me over her or whatever, but she falls down. When she falls down, she still continued. She's firing at me from the ground.
So even on the ground, she had her gun out?
Yes, she still was firing.
And she was still firing?
Yes.
Okay. And so what is your purpose at that point?
I was trying to hit her vest to knock her out.
Okay. Did you fire at her vest?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you believe that firing at her vest would knock her out?
Because that's what I know about vests. That's what I know.
Okay. What do you do when her gun hand goes down?
When her gun hand goes down, I stop shooting.
And where do you go?
So I go to my car. Because I see she was still alive. She was still moving. Because I'm focused on the gun hand and trying to stay away from it. So when her gun hand go down, I stopped shooting and she was still moving. So I'm not intentionally trying to kill anyone. I'm never like that.
Markeith read some more of his Facebook posts, which were clearly full of rage. He was angry about racism, angry about law enforcement. But he also said he had encouraged his nephews to become police officers. That was the only way to change the system, he said. And that was exactly what Lieutenant Deborah Clayton had been doing, changing the system from within, the prosecutor said during cross.
And the reason you wanted that to happen was because you wanted to make change from within, right?
Yes.
In other words, change the system as opposed to trying to fight the system. In that instance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Isn't that what Deborah Clayton did?
Which means that what she did?
Deborah Clayton, the woman you murdered, was a police officer, right?
Yes.
She was an African-American police officer?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to believe she wasn't trying to change the system for the better?
I don't know what she was doing, but at that time, she was trying to kill me.
Right. Because it wasn't about race for you, right?
What do you mean, race?
When you killed Lieutenant Clayton, it wasn't because she was black, right? Certainly.
No, it wasn't because she was black.
It wasn't because she was a police officer.
It was because she was trying to, because someone was trying to kill me, that shot at me.
Because she was trying to bring you into custody for the murder of Shoddy Dixon.
But that doesn't mean you have a right to shoot me just because I'm running.
The defense called Dr. Jethro Toomer, a psychologist, to give his opinion on Markeith's mental health.
I have a bachelor's, a master's, and PhD degree in psychology. I am a diplomate of the American Board of Professional Psychology, which is the highest level of achievement in the field. I believe it was 2010, I retired from Florida International University. I was a tenured full professor, and I directed the graduate training program in mental health. And I've been engaged in the, as I said, in the private practice of clinical and forensic psychology. I'm also treatment consultant for the National Football League and for the National Basketball Association.
Dr. Toomer met with Markeith twice for about 6 hours.
The purpose of the evaluation was to render an opinion with regard to Mr. Lloyd's, whether Mr. Lloyd met the criteria, sanity versus insanity, at the time of the commission of the crime, which was the death of Lieutenant Clayton.
Dr. Toomer testified that Markeith has a subcategory of schizophrenia that was characterized by a lack of rationality and judgment.
The other component with regard to that is that there, with schizophrenia, schizophrenia spectrum disorder, what you have oftentimes is a lack of recognition. This goes back to the point of insight, a lack of recognition of mental illness, a lack of recognition of irrationality, and a lack of judgment in terms of how the symptomatology unfolds and manifests itself.
And does Markeith Lloyd have that?
Yes, he does.
You're aware that he does not believe he's mentally ill?
That is correct, yes.
He said based on his interactions with Markeith, his review of his records, and meetings with family members, he came up with several diagnoses.
Schizophrenia is one. Bipolar disorder is another. Post-traumatic stress disorder is another. Psychosis is another. So there are these categories. And also, based upon past evaluations, a provisional diagnosis of a neurocognitive disorder, i.e. brain damage, would be another that would be considered as part of the diagnostic entity with regard to the mental illness that from which he suffers.
He said he looked at the insanity instruction and came to a conclusion on that as well.
Can you tell the jury what that is?
Well, the conclusion that I reached is that while Mr. Lloyd knew what he was doing, he didn't know that it was wrong. The second prong he does not meet.
Okay. And then the first prong is?
He did not know what he was doing was the first.
No, I understand. But did he have a mental illness, disease, or defect?
Yes, the mental illness, disease, or defect is what I alluded to a little earlier in terms of what I found as a result of.
Opinion that he had a mental infirmity, disease, or defect, and because of this condition, although he knew what he was doing and its consequences, mm-hmm. he did not know it was wrong.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
On cross, Dr. Toomer and the prosecutor clashed in many heated exchanges. Here's one of them.
And your current rate per hour is what?
The state rate.
Which is what?
Which is $250 an hour.
Now, as of December of 2020, when I deposed you, you had earned about $4,000 for your testimony on behalf of Mr. Lloyd. Is that right?
I believe so. If that's what I indicated, I just don't recall right offhand.
And do you know how much you've earned since then?
I beg your pardon?
How much money you've earned testifying on behalf of Mr. Lloyd since December of 2020? How much have you billed?
Nothing.
You haven't billed anything?
No.
Do you plan on billing something?
At some point, yes.
Okay, so let's not be cute about it.
No, I'm just saying, you asked a specific time.
Hold on, Don.
And I answered.
Mr. Williams, no. All right, rephrase your question.
How much money do you intend on making off of Mr. Lloyd's case for your testimony?
I have no idea.
No idea.
I hadn't even thought about it.
Okay.
In their rebuttal, the state called two experts who disputed Dr. Toomer's diagnosis. They argued Markeith was in fact sane at the time of Lieutenant Clayton's killing. One of them, a psychiatrist, said she diagnosed Markeith with an antisocial personality disorder. However, that mental health disorder is excluded from the insanity defense under Florida law. During the final days of testimony, News Channel 6 reported one exchange between Markeith and Lieutenant Clayton's widower, who had sat in the courtroom watching the proceedings. "I told you I didn't mean to kill your wife, bro," Markeith told him before crying in the courtroom. In their closing arguments, the prosecution argued that Markeith Lloyd was doing everything in his power to not go back to prison after he killed his ex-girlfriend.
It is not a secret. There's been evidence that Mr. Lloyd was in prison up until 2014, and he's made it clear through his Facebook post he was not going back. Lieutenant Clayton's goal, her only goal on the morning of January 9th, was to bring him into custody. And that was one of the few things he would simply not allow. The defendant had a motivation to kill. We know that Mr. Lloyd had a motivation to kill because of the preparation he took prior to ever going to Walmart on the morning of January 9th. We know that he had obtained a bulletproof vest. And this is where we start to intersect a little bit with his self-defense claim. Because if you're fearful of law enforcement, obtaining a bulletproof vest in the event that you want to surrender so that you're not killed during the surrender makes a certain amount of sense. Why do you need that? And not just one firearm, why do you need two firearms? And not just two firearms, why do you need an extended magazine so that you can carry more bullets with you? The evidence is clear that Mr. Lloyd knew, well before he ever saw Lieutenant Clayton grocery shopping that morning, that if he came across a law enforcement officer who got in his way, he would kill them.
He argued the surveillance video showed Markeith standing directly over Lieutenant Clayton and firing at her above her bulletproof vest. He was intentionally trying to kill her. The defense had a different interpretation of the footage. They said the video showed Markeith shooting Lieutenant Clayton out of self-defense.
It is extremely important to view these videos until you are comfortable that you have a firm belief in what is being depicted. And I would strongly suggest that you have this in front of you when you look at the video involving the shooting of Lieutenant Clayton, the one they said blooded killing, and the one I say was self-defense because she was shooting at him at that time, and where he was positioned and what her body was positioned in.
Jury deliberations began. Markeith had already heard the words guilty after his 2019 murder trial for Sade Dixon's death. And he heard them again in 2021. The jury found Markeith guilty of the murder of Lieutenant Deborah Clayton. Then the next phase of the trial began, the penalty phase. During this part of the trial, the judge ruled that the jury would be allowed to see the helicopter footage that showed the officers beating Markeith at the time of his arrest. Remember, the jury hadn't watched that video before up until this point. The prosecution unsuccessfully tried to keep the video from being played in court and even asked for a new judge to be brought in for the penalty phase. Their motion, however, was not granted. The jurors deliberated for 5 hours, deciding what punishment Markeith deserved. On December 8th, 2021, they reached a decision. The same jurors who had convicted Markeith of first-degree murder and the death of Lieutenant Clayton ruled he deserved to be executed. The Orlando Sentinel reported that Lieutenant Clayton's husband called the verdict bittersweet as he spoke outside the courtroom. "It's not going to bring Deborah back," he said. And that's all for this episode. As always, I want to know what you think about this case. You can let me know by joining the conversation on Instagram at Court Junkie, by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod, or by emailing me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. This episode was researched and written by Gabrielle Rousson. To hear Court Junkie episodes without the ads and to hear additional Court Junkie bonus episodes, go to courtjunkie.com/support, and that will redirect you to my Patreon page. And before I go, I want to tell you that the True Crime Podcast Festival is back for 2022. So I attended this back when it was held in Chicago a couple years ago, and it was such a great event. It basically gives listeners a good opportunity to mix and mingle with some of their favorite true crime and paranormal podcasters. And you can even find new podcasts to listen to. So this year, it's going to be held in Dallas, Texas, from August 26th through the 28th. Now, I'm going to try my very best to make it because I really want to go. It's such a great event. But as some of you might know, I'm going through my 6th round of IVF trying to grow my family. So making any kind of travel arrangements is pretty difficult for me right now. But it's a great event and you should check it out regardless. The Good Pods app is a great way to follow the shows and even listen to a curated playlist of their most talked about episodes. So check that out. Head on over to truecrimepodcastfestival.com to buy your tickets. And I will include a link in the show notes and keep you updated as the weeks go by as to whether or not I am able to make it, or whoever cares. That's all for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time. Sling is the best of live TV for the best price. It's everything you love about live and on-demand TV without the long-term contracts and hidden fees. With Sling, you get channels like ESPN, TBS, TNT, CNN, HGTV, and more. Plus, 80,000 on-demand movies and shows, 50 hours of DVR storage included, the ability to pause or change your subscription at any time, and so much more. Watch your favorite comedies, action, drama, and adventures, suspense and thrillers, documentaries, I love those, news and sports for just $35 a month. That's it. Sign up in 5 minutes and start streaming right away on your TV, your phone, and your tablet. It's the easiest and cheapest way to watch the TV you love, both live and on demand. Take control of your entertainment with Sling, the TV you love for a price you'll love. Try it for free today. Go to sling.com. Restrictions apply.